Welcome, everybody, to Mormons on Mushrooms. Just a reminder that this is a storytelling podcast where we discuss alternative methods for healing from trauma and seeking a more fulfilling life. A lot of times on the podcast, we discuss triggering topics, and we ask that you make your personal mental health top priority. Lastly, the opinions offered by our guests don't necessarily reflect the opinions of the hosts. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy.
There's the guy.
Hey, bud.
I'm so glad it's just the two of us again.
Same. Sorry about the late start. My mouse is fucking up, man.
You know? And you know what? Mercury's not even in retrograde. So who can we blame it on now?
I think it's one of those things where we just got to blame it on me.
Okay, we can do that.
I know in our community, we don't like to do that, but I think it's all my fault. Like before
in retrograde?
Yeah. Doug is in retrograde. Before I left for the long day, the long weekend or whatever, my mouse was like, hey, I need to be recharged and I'm running out of batteries. And I was like, oh yeah, I got you. But then I forgot. Yeah. And so I got in this evening and I was like, oh shit, it's dead. It's like fucking dead. And I can't use my computer without my mouse.
Well, we made it work. You made it work. And it gave me a chance to do a tarot spread. On my dream from last night.
Well, first of all, let's actually start by talking about your dream. And then let's talk about your tarot spread on your dream. Can we do that?
I don't
know.
Maybe. I'm just wondering about my dream, what I can share. And what it was very...
I think you can share everything about your dream, can't you? John DeLynn's a public figure.
Oh, I can do that part. Sure. Yeah, I guess there's multiple parts of my dream.
Oh, well, you know,
but the tarot spread, I think, has more to do with the other parts is what I'm saying. And
oh, I see. Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm trying to think, well, you know what? I can talk in general about it, I guess. And maybe it ties into what I want to talk about on my portion of the episode, you know, ties into the midnight concert, which I missed the fuck out of you last week.
No, I should have been there. It wasn't happening, man.
Yeah.
You know, like everything was in place for it to happen, but I started feeling, we can talk about it on here because our kids don't listen to this, right? Like we're taking our kids to Mexico as a Christmas present. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I hate to say this, but at my core, I'm still a fucking budgeting guy. Like I'm still like, well, it's out of the budget.
No, I get it. Okay. And it worked out. I had I texted you that night and I was a little high on weed, on life, and on the fucking midnight.
Dude, those are the three best things to be high on.
Right. I mean, a little high on Doug would have been nice too.
Oh, that's true. I would have loved to have been high on Mike.
Yeah. But I said I'd been reborn. And I think that was maybe a little bit of an overstatement, but
not much.
We can chat about it a bit. And so maybe let's talk a little bit about my dream. I don't know if listeners are sick of dreams or not. But a couple things in the dream. One, John DeLynn made an appearance. That's the first time John DeLynn's been in one of my dreams. And he was trying to pitch me a multi-level marketing scheme, which I think has some meanings. I don't need to go into it, but it was a pretty fun thing. He was driving the boat and I was on the boat and asking him for advice as a fellow podcaster. I guess, you know, and he just wanted to pitch me a multi-level marketing scheme,
which is very Mormon.
Yeah. Very Mormon, but my ego didn't like it, but I think there's some wisdom in what he was teaching me, even though it doesn't mean I want to go starting out MLM or being one, but I think there's some wisdom in it.
Tell me more.
Well, this is where I don't know if we should get into a lot. Cause it comes to because we're creating this community here, creating this podcast, creating a space where people to get creative together, to share their art, to share their vision, to share their talents. And it's fucking rad. And then it's just, my fear is when money gets in the picture of all of it, it could color it all. you know, it's all fun and games when it's all kind of free and fun and flowing that way. But we get weird when it comes to money, you know, and that's still at our core. Like, I don't know if, especially with Mormons, I think there's a fear of one of like, what priestcraft or something, the like profiting off spirituality, profiting off, the church, which I get too, because the last thing I want to do is, I guess profit off of, the well-being of others, you know, or helping people, but
yeah, profit off of other people's trauma and pain.
Yeah.
But you know, here's the thing, Mike. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
No, I want to hear yours first.
Well, I think I'm the biggest problem in our whole thing, right? I mean, it becomes this thing of like, what you're talking about is dead on for me. You know, people talk about an abundance. We talk about an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset. We talk about the whole money game. Like, that's a phrase, like the money game. Right.
Yeah.
I honestly, Mike, I think we just talk about this whole thing.
All right. Let's just open it up. Why not?
Why not? You know?
Yeah. Cause I, you know what? I think it goes into some, I'm realizing I didn't want to talk about it because it brings up some pretty big Mormon triggers for me.
Same, big time.
And so let's chat about it. Even if it's talking about monetizing, you know, how we,
yeah,
how we do an energetic monetary exchange for Mormons on mushrooms.
So, dear listener, dear, beautiful, sweet hearted, beautiful, driving your car, folding your laundry, being sexy listener.
Ooh, do you think people listen to us when they're being sexy? I hope they do.
Oh, I think that all of our listeners inherently are fucking sexy.
I mean, I wonder if they listen to us while they're getting sexy.
Dude, I hope they do. I hope the sound of Mike's voice makes everyone fucking hard because it makes me hard. But that aside, we have these things where it's, you know, we do not claim to be any kind of replacement for Russell M. Nelson, Thomas S. Monson, Gordon B. Hinckley, Howard W. Hunter, Ezra Taft Benson, who's the fucking little guy? Spencer W.
Are you gonna name them all?
I was going backwards, dude. I got stuck at Spencer W. Kimball. But what I'm saying is we have no interest in that shit, right?
No.
And then we have this Facebook group and we have this Mighty Networks group. The Facebook group has something like 1,500 members. Most of you have not even heard about the podcast, and that's totally fine by us. The Mighty Networks thing, most of you have heard about the podcast, and you pay $5 a month to be part of this Mighty Networks thing. Guess what? That fucking $5 a month is pulling teeth for us. Like, we do not want to charge people any amount of money for any amount of healing. I don't care if Mike pulls like full-blown answers to your prayers and wizardry out of his butthole. Like, we do not want to charge money for healing. But we have all these fucking costs, you know, involved. I mean, we have people, we have obviously server costs for the Mighty Networks thing. We have server costs for the hosting the podcast. Historically, you and I have covered those costs because our whole thing is like, let's all heal together. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
But now money's becoming a thing where we have producers and editors and contributors and creators and artists, all this kind of thing. And they're like, well, we want to help. But it seems to us like there's this whole community being built. And we're like, yeah, same. We're not making any money off of it. And nor would we want to.
Well, when you say making any money, I mean, that's where I guess the triggers come up is I'm saying, I think eventually I do want to make some money, but not just because of it. And it goes into, we were talking about the why, you know, we've been having a lot of conversations internally and we won't disclose those yet, but like on why we're doing this. And it's been so cool to see the words that have popped up of love and magic and
community.
Yeah.
Togetherness.
And we collectively And for a lot of people listening to the podcast too, would love to be doing this with their lives full time, you know?
Yep.
And, but we also have to live in this world. And so there's the element of like, yeah, do I want to make a lot of money so I can, you know, buy a private jet? No, but like, do I want, would I love for this just to be something I lean into and dedicate my time to the healing of the community? Yes. I mean, I would talk about, this is what energizes me. This is what I love. And so that, that feeling of, could I support those who I love, my kids, my mate, myself, and not have to work a corporate job, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's where it gets a little tricky, but that's where it's also, you know, going back to the dream a little bit with John DeLynn, you know, teaching me about the multi-level marketing. Nothing triggers me more than multi-level marketing.
Same.
You know, you go find three people and you go find three people in this, right? And so I think that it was fascinating as a dream image, because just like we're talking, I'm getting all these triggers of like, I don't want to say, hey, I want a lot of money, but I'm saying I want this to be what I do.
Yeah.
And yeah. that's partially why I'm going back to school, you know, and doing the PhD too. But like, aside from that, so I guess what I'm saying is the dream knew what images to really trigger me, the multi-level marketing thing. Right. And then he, at first I was laughing in the dream and saying,
especially with John DeLynn, dude.
Yeah. And you're like, you must get solicited a lot. And in the dream, John DeLynn was like, well, actually he didn't laugh at me saying, you know, you must get solicited a lot. He was getting serious. And I'm like, oh wait, he's pitching me an MLM right now. This is happening. So of course my guards go up, you know, that thing, like, I want to be polite, but dude, I'm not joining your MLM. And I haven't had a lot of time to sit with this dream, but if you think about just like the network we're creating, I mean, it's called network marketing, right?
Yeah.
And we're creating a beautiful network of people.
Yep.
And there's a value to that, that I think Dream John DeLynn was kind of saying, you're creating value here, an energetic value. And it ripples out. And so look at your own triggers on why are you uncomfortable with this? You know, is it a narrative that's keeping you small? Is it a narrative that's trying to keep you trapped in the corporate matrix of capitalist America? And to not leaning into like your gifts, your healing gifts?
Yeah.
Is it to the narrative that we were taught as Mormons to make us feel small in service of an organization that stripped us of our individuality? I mean, that's why they talk about fucking priestcraft. I mean, you named all those people, Gordon B. Hinckley and whatever, and you even honored them by using their like,
I used their full fucking name.
Yeah, you did. They were all making money the whole time.
They were all wealthy.
Yeah. You know who wasn't? Those bishops we were talking about, you know how we said love and hate the bishops, but some of those bishops, man, they're working their ass off on a corporate job.
Yeah.
And then they have to go home and take care of their families and, you know, their kids who are struggling. And then they go in there's weekends are fucking shot. I'm getting more angry at this than I realized I was, but like,
dude, I'm loving this. Keep shot. Going. Keep
they,
going.
They're listening to people's traumas every week. They have not even a lick of training to do it. And they don't make anything. And the church is like, oh yeah, that's priestcraft. Bull fucking shit. That's priestcraft, yep. You know?
Yep.
And so they're giving an energetic exchange. And so they should be able to get that back too.
Yep.
And so what is it? What are the triggers that are holding me back on this? And I think a lot of it is narratives that have been used to keep me small or to keep me in service of organizations that I no longer ascribe to. Ascribe, is that the word?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah. You're dead on.
Whether it be capitalism, the Mormon church, like, so yeah, I think that was a cool part of my dream.
Mike, I have a lot of things to say about that.
Please.
Dude, this is, you know, I think I should let people know that we do not, like, a lot of times
Mike and I text each other or call each other before a recording where we're like, we could probably talk about this. And tonight we're going to talk about the midnight. We're going to talk about DMT. We're going to talk about Mike's dreams. We are in a territory that is fresh and new, and that Mike and I are not, this is all off the cuff. Like, this is all very new. And Mike, the thing I want to really like kind of like zero in on, or maybe narrow in on, is you said at the very beginning, when money comes into the equation, it creates problems. Mm-hmm. So you think about, like, we have a whole team of people that help us make this podcast possible, right? But at the core of it, it's you and me on a Zoom talking to each other. That's the end of the fucking story, right?
Yeah.
We got producers, we got social media consultants, we got marketing people, we got editors, we got engineers, we got all that kind of stuff. But really, it's just what this thing is you and me with a sense of kind of like, oh, we don't know shit about any of this fucking shit. We don't know anything. It's you and me coming to this saying, hey, what if everybody can heal? What if we can be present and part of everyone healing? And Mike said, Mike, I'm going to go on a little diatribe here, if that's okay.
Yes.
Because Mike, you said really well, the thing about, well, you know, we're not fucking, we don't want to make a shitload of money. We also don't want this to be our, I mean, this is a hobby for me. You know, you and me talking together, this is a hobby, but we do have some obligations, and we're not trying to ask free people for money, but we're trying to say, hey, this is why we charge money for the things that we're doing. And there's something very beautiful in you stressing so much that you're having a dream about it, that your subconscious is throwing it up in the forms of triggering topics like more multi-level marketing, which is MLM. John DeLynn is a good, I think, avatar for podcasts that are very profitable. I've seen figures about what John DeLynn makes from his podcast, from Mormon Stories podcast. And I don't know how to say this other than outright. That's a big old pay cut for me and Mike. That's a big old juicy fat pay cut. Like our podcast being as prolific as John DeLynn's podcast, Mormon Stories, is a big fucking pay cut for me and Mike. Now, the people who make this podcast possible deserve a little bit of dough from you and me. And we've been giving them money from, you know, just little sources and that kind of stuff. I think we can probably cut that part out.
Maybe. But yeah, we'll see what, yeah.
But this is the core of what we're talking about, which is the scarcity mindset, which is there is a finite amount of money available. There's this pie, you know, if you picture a pie chart, the pie chart always equals 100%. And that 100% is the money that is available to all of us. And we're all fighting for our slice of the pie. This episode might not even be about Mormons or mushrooms. It might be two people who have advanced degrees and certifications talking about business and budgeting and money. That might be what it comes down to. I'm a PMP, not for
what
those
is,
of you.
Is that pimp?
Yeah. So PMP, I am not talking about the 50 cent version of PIMP. I am not a person who has the ability to marginalize women. I'm talking about a project management professional. I am a project management professional certified person. I have an MBA. I'm a certified facilitator for strategic planning facilitation. I've been through the school of the Center for Creative Leadership. Like those are my credentials. Mike's credentials are being a CPA, being an MBA, working on a PhD, being an executive. These are things that for you and I, we do not give two shits about bringing in money to make us rich. Is that a fair thing for me to say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So we don't give two shits about bringing in money to make us rich. We care about, we're trying to build a community that is focused on magic and healing and trauma and having a whole host of people that you can contact or interact with or spend face-to-face time with to integrate the things that we as a collective are all learning from altered states of consciousness, whatever that might be. Whatever your choice of getting into an altered state of consciousness is, we are with you and we agree and we're like, yeah, hell yeah. But it's not a thing about like, hey, can we try to make some money here? And that's what, and that's the thing I think we keep kind of circling back to. That's the thing we keep kind of like going around and around. That's your multi-level marketing dream. That's your John DeLynn dream. That's your dream is like, how do we make this thing profitable without losing our souls? That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to lose our souls. We're not trying to make this thing profitable. Well, and that's that's why John DeLynn is visiting you in your dream.
I think there's an element of that, but then I'm going to push back on a couple of things here.
Push on. I'm fucking drunk, man.
Yeah. I'm getting there. Drinking a Strange Beast kombucha, which I think is fitting for this episode. And we'll get to it when we get to the midnight episode part.
That's all I really want to talk about.
We got to finish this out because I'm fucking loving it. And it's when, because you're calling it a hobby for you. And at first, I mean, hobby's a hard word for me just because for me, it's been more than that. It's been therapy, I think. And that's what I looked at it. Like, hey, if I'm getting therapy from Doug every week and a hobby, because it's been fucking fun and it has been a hobby and I've loved it. But where I'm going to say I want it to, and it is more than that, is when we started getting people reaching out and talking about how much the podcast is resonating with them, how much having a community and a space to heal is important to them, how much even just interacting. We talked about in the last episode with our people in our community in Austin and Salt Lake City, and just how magical that experience being in their presences and being in this community. It's like, for me, that changes it from a hobby to a passion, and a passion where it's like, man, if I could lean in and create an abundance for my family, because there is no pie. I think that what we're getting at is like, we think if there's this fixed pie, that pie can grow as big and as small as we want it to be.
Absolutely.
And so to say, I want to create abundance for my family while leaning into myself and leaning into the gifts that I have to help connect others and to bring them together and to love themselves and to heal collectively. I want that. And I think there's an element of John DeLynn coming in my dreams. Poor John DeLynn, man.
He gets enough. Love you, John DeLynn. You brought my wife out of the church. So thank you. And we love you.
And he's not fucking listening. So that's fine. But, I think he's trying to show me in a way that like, look, it's okay to want to make money on this because of those reasons I was just saying, it's okay. And you might feel like it's multi-level. You might feel a little skeevy kind of doing it, but like, it's not that. And there was a part in it, and I'm going to like maybe date myself. There's a card game called Pit, yes, where you're trading commodities. And the MLM is structured in the dream around this board game, card game. And what came up for me in my first association was in that game, in order to win the game, you have to look for win-wins across the board. It's like you have to trade. I mean, the object of the game is to win. You're the one who wants to make all the matches. But the only way to do that is to trade with other people and to find win-win situations. So almost saying like, get over your hangups about money and abundance and look for win-wins. Look where your energy aligns with other people's energy and you create this win-win in them. Everyone wins. And then you don't get in these little squabbles about money if you're willing to have those hard conversations.
Holy shit.
And then you can create this abundance, lean into what you love. And I think we can all do that. And I think there's an element of coming into this, being willing to play in the mess with us for a minute. If you're coming and you're wanting to bring your songs or your art or your gifts or whatever to help make the podcast and the community, which has grown far beyond the podcast, what it is, come, we'll work out all the money stuff. You know what I mean? Like we're creating the abundance together. And so we'll figure it out, you know?
Mike, you just knocked it out of the park. So like normally I would say, hey, Seth, start the episode right now, because that was just me and Mike talking about all the logistics of this shit. But honestly, Mike, do you see anything that we've said that I want to put that out to the world? Like the things that both of us have said are insanely triggering to me. And it's like, I don't want to have these conversations. You and I have these conversations in order to make sure we're not, to make sure we're not capitalizing off of people's trauma, to make sure that we're not trying to even saying make money is a triggering phrase for me.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that we should include this whole fucking conversation in the podcast recording, because I think that if you and I are feeling this kind of thing, people who are listening are also feeling it about their personal lives, about the healing that they're doing, about what their gifts and talents that they're bringing to the world are. And this money game is not a zero sum game. It is not a finite pie. It is a thing where we can build up. Shit, I was about to say the kingdom of heaven,
kind of is though, right? But let me talk about it in this way, because tying into what, you know, we'll get to your DMT thing in a bit, but like with, because when I did Bufo, there was an element where I was like going in and out of the abundance mindset. And when I was in there, it was like, holy shit, love, everything is abundant. You guys, so what are we fighting over? It's just abundant.
What's the point?
We're fighting for scraps here, but like really it's abundant. And my guide, my shaman, she said, yeah, and it's regenerative when you get to that space.
Oh, holy shit.
And so we're talking about, and so even here, you hear us go in and out. And that's why I want to keep this whole conversation in.
Yes.
Because you hear us right now, even struggling, where we go back and forth, being like, oh, it's scarce. And I don't know if we should do this and this and this. And now we're not trying to make money to like, wait, no, it's abundant. Like,
yeah.
And I think a lot of listeners will resonate, because beyond our specific community, beyond our podcast, people right now who are grinding in corporate America and being like, look, I've sold my soul because I need to pay my family and pay my bills and this, but really I would love to be doing this, or I feel like my gifts are more uniquely aligned with this, or I don't know what my gifts are, but I'm trying to find them, but I know what I'm doing is not lighting me up. To start leaning into what lights you up and being okay to ask for money to do it. And not just ask for money, but like, charge and a fair exchange. You know, this, I think I can leave this part in. So my wife, my mate had her first ceramic sale last weekend. She fucking killed it.
Yeah.
And she's only been doing ceramics for a couple of years, man. And she's killing it. And her biggest challenge was what to charge for the ceramics. You know, you're going there and she's trying to price it low at first. And she's working with a friend who's doing it for the first time. And then they priced it higher. And I was looking at him like, babe, it's interesting. The moment you price it higher, all of a sudden I see it differently. It's not like I'm like, wow, that's too high of a price. I say, wow, yeah, I automatically am valuing it more because it has a higher price tag on it.
Holy shit.
Right. And so yes. There's that thing about abundance. How much are you worth? How much are your dreams worth? How much are your passions worth? And what narratives have been keeping you small? And like that crab analogy, I know maybe it bears repeating one more time. There's that story of like the fisherman with the crabs in his bucket. And a man asks him, and he doesn't have a lid on it. A man asks him if he's worried about the crabs getting out. And he says, no, as soon as one crab tries to get out, the rest of them drag him down. So how much are we doing that to each other in the scarcity mindset, being like, oh, don't get too big. I'm going to drag you back down. Don't ask for money for this. That's not right. That's priestcraft. Like, we're going to keep you small. But if we all just like escaped the bucket or helped each other out of the bucket, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh, Mike, you were, yeah. I mean, honestly, like just you and me talking, I think that we discount, I have a tendency to do this, and I'm making an accusation against you. So I apologize in advance. I think you and I discount our art because, we have so much training and history with, presenting. I guess the word I'm looking for is presenting a viewpoint. Whether it be teaching, you know, giving a talk in primary, giving a talk in sacrament meeting, teaching a gospel doctrine lesson, all the kind of things we're talking about. It just feels so dirty and unartistic, if that's a word I can use, for us to art is valuable.
Yeah.
Vulnerability and sharing our experience that is a shared human experience that we're not allowed to express in certain circles is valuable. It makes people feel like they're not alone. It makes people feel like the loneliness that we experience in a room full of people is not unique to each and every one of us. And I think that you and I probably discount our ability to be artists as much as anyone in the world.
Oh, definitely. For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you have to ask yourself, why have we been trained in corporate America or capitalist, whatever, that art is not valuable?
We have been taught that. We've been taught through negotiation, through I could go through a whole thing about how to create a valuation on a business entity. You know, where you start with, for those of you who are business owners, I'm going to give you some free shit right now. If you're looking at how to value your business, how to make more money, start with your fixed costs. Don't start with, should I get more customers? Should I charge more money? Start with your fixed costs. Understand fully and completely your fixed costs and look for ways to cut your fixed costs. If there's no way to do it, that's totally fine. But if you can, then do that. Step number two. Sorry, Mike, I'm going to go through this. I know you're looking at me like, what the fuck is happening here?
I think there's some people taking notes right now. Yeah, that's great.
Start with your fixed costs. The second step is move into your variable costs. So that is, your variable cost is how much does it cost us to sell the thing that we sell, whether it be a product, a service, a good, an art piece, whatever it is. Figure out what your variable costs are. Are there ways that you can improve your efficiency? Variable costs are your efficiency ratios. So look at those. The third thing that you should look at is what can we do to increase customers? Like, how can we create more customers? Is it spending a little bit of money on marketing? Is it creating a promotion? Is it creating a value proposition? And the final thing, there's only four things. It's fixed costs, variable costs, increase in customers. And then the final thing, this is, should be the last thing that you look at, is price. The price of your goods, the price of your services, the price, the value that you put on the thing that you create. And I think that what you and I are doing right now, Mike, is we're talking about our fourth thing. Mm. I think that we have a pretty good, we know what it costs, our fixed cost. We know what it costs every month for us to create this podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our variable costs are pretty low because we pay our fixed costs, and that's about it.
Well, two things with that. Like, so the variable costs are low, but they're growing because of the people helping us too.
Of course.
And
those are the variables. Yeah. The people that help us produce this podcast become the variables. And I love every single one of them.
Same.
The third thing that we've done is, hey, try to get more customers. Well, shit, dude. I mean, I don't give a fuck about getting more customers. I'm happy to help the one person who's listening to this going, holy shit, this is the thing I give a shit about. Yeah. I already got fucking customers in my real life. You know what I mean? I don't need more customers. The fourth thing though is that cost basis. So for those of you listening, you know, we have a Facebook community. We have a Twitter. What's the word I'm looking for? Instagram. We have an Instagram presence, but we have this thing, the Mighty Networks, that costs $5 a month. And we struggle over that. We have all these arguments. We have all these conversations about, dude, should we really be charging people $5 a month for anything? Because this is about healing. But we also go into the whole thing about like, well, what if we charge people $5 a month for basic access? And then what if we charge people more money for the ecstatic dance events that we do, the new moon, full moon meditations that we do on there, the breath work things, the yoga things, the integration circles, the share circles. I mean, there's a shitload of stuff that we do on there that we don't charge anything for, because it's like your $5 a month cover charge, your entry into the facility,
which is a hell of a value, man.
Access to all those things.
Yeah.
So what you're actually hearing is the conversation before the conversation, which is me and Mike talking about how do we value one another? How do we value just you and me talking to each other? That's not okay, because you and me talking to each other is just one aspect of this whole thing of people who want to heal from the trauma that they experienced in their childhood, that they experienced from toxic religious overlords, the trauma that they are healing from the patriarchy that exists, the trauma that exists from just being human, that we're not allowed to experience because we have all of these other things to attend to. When I say things, I'm talking about family and bills and, you know, making sure that your fucking internet thing works and making sure that your lights come on and making sure that you can heat your house and making sure that you can go out to dinner.
Got to make sure the internet thing's working though.
Dude, that's fucking internet thing. I'm in my office late at night because of the internet thing. Cause I don't have any goddamn internet.
I think the internet thing's here to stay, man. And especially if you don't live in the fucking woods, like, it's great everywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm the only one who's having an internet problem, but the point I'm trying to make is, it's been an hour almost, and we're still talking about the thing that you and I just are trying to talk about. And I think we should leave all this in, don't you?
I definitely think we should. And I think, hopefully it resonates and hopefully it helps us. I mean, it's helping me just kind of fill through some of these blocks I have around scarcity and money and asking for things, you know. And I mean, imagine a realm where everything was abundant. You would feel no shame in asking for anything, you know. And what if we're already in that realm, but we've been taught to think small?
Dude, you just fucking lit up my whole body when you said that, because that's where I live. That's exactly where I exist, is that there is a finite pie.
Same.
And I'm only allowed to take my piece. And it's like, no, I'll take my piece and then I'll share it with everybody, because it's like, dude, I can't eat all this fucking pie. Let's all get in here. There's a whole fucking pie and it never ends. And it's like Jesus trying to feed the 5,000. It's like, are we still, have bread and fish? Like, what's going on here? When does the bread and fish end? And Jesus is like, I got nothing but bread and fish, dude.
So good, right? And it's so good when you start looking at the Bible from that perspective, like the symbolic perspective, man. So before we get on a new topic, I do want to say, she's not going to listen anyway, but my mate, go to Instagram at Houseplant Ceramics. That's at Houseplant Ceramics. Give her a follow. I think she'd love it. And it'd be cool if she got all these followers and didn't know why, you know?
Dude, I would add, give her a follow and buy her shit. I've drank coffee out of the coffee mugs that she made. Fucking buy her shit. It's handmade.
It's handmade magic, man.
It's handmade, dipshits. Go buy it.
Handmade by a Taurus, a fucking beautiful Taurus, Palladian beauty, you know? Yeah. So like, buy it. Yeah. Go on and follow and buy it.
Don't follow her. Buy her shit. Stop buying your shit at Target or whatever it is. Like when you're walking in the Target aisle of coffee mugs or plates or fucking gravy bowls for Thanksgiving or, those little, she made that, you know, those little things that you use to crush up medicine. Like, yeah, stop fucking buying those from big soulless corporations. Buy it from her.
Oh, yeah. One more plug on that. This is going to be crazy. But yeah. The little candle holders. You saw those, right? The porcelain holders. You light up and they light up. You meditate to one of those candle holders that just kind of like light up your room.
Yeah.
Like cast all these cool lights everywhere. Yeah. Like, anyway, houseplant ceramics.
Wait, say it again, because it's like, she's so talented. Say it again.
I'll put it in the show notes, but it's at houseplant ceramics.
Yeah.
She has underscores or anything. Just don't put a space. Just type it all out. Yeah.
Yeah. Hit the little A with a little circle around it at houseplant ceramics.
Dip and shit. For those who are listening who are her friends, don't tell her I said this.
Oh yeah. Nobody tell Audrey about what we're up to here. Honestly, can you, like, we've had guests on who have had a big influx of clients.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if your mate just suddenly had a random influx of people buying her shit and she was like, what the fuck is going on here?
I love it. Yeah.
I hope that the last year, it's been a year. I hope the last year of us recording this thing has led to people buying her shit. That's all I care about.
I mean, that's all of this is just a doorway to that.
Yeah, it's been a year and 3 months build up to this advertisement right now, which is at Houseplant Ceramics. Is that right?
Yeah.
Fuck everything else.
I love this too much. I love this ad we're doing here.
I know, it's a full blown ad. We should get paid for this shit.
Yeah, I'll bill her.
biller on a percentage.
Yeah. So
should we actually start the recording now?
I think now we'll start the recording right now. And I think I'm feeling, let's talk about the midnight and let's talk about your trips.
Well, I want to talk about the midnight. So for those of you who heard our last week's episode, which we didn't get as many people listen to that episode as we've had in the past, because I think the Thanksgiving kind of deal happened.
Yeah.
But we talked about me possibly going down to LA to hang out with Mike and do the midnight concert. I did not go, but Mike did go to the midnight concert and his experience was ... Mike, go ahead.
I felt like I was reborn. And let me explain why. And so we don't have to go too much. Everyone's like, oh, you're going to just talk about the midnight all the time. And like, well, maybe, but
yeah, I mean, this could be a whole podcast dedicated to the midnight. Thank you, the midnight.
Yeah, thank you, the midnight. Another ad. So here's what I was feeling there, man. And here's where it really just like, I felt alive and I felt and it's scary. And Doug, you texted me today and we were talking about our romance together and how
I'm glad you said romance, because a lot of people would say bromance, but I think it's a full fledged romance.
Oh yeah. No, it's a fucking romance, man.
Like, I want Matthew McConaughey to play the part of Mike, and I want Sarah Jessica Parker or Kate Hudson to play the role of Doug. And I want to make it a full blown romantic comedy.
Yeah. Why not? It's not the bromance thing, whatever, you know?
Yeah, dude. Fuck romance. Let's get a romance going. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
When you were just mentioning how it's like this thing where I can tell you parts about myself and you're still going to give me a big old hug. I can tell you anything about me. And yeah. I feel like, you know, I would still get a big bear hug from you because you'd understand. And so that's where some of the things I'm going to talk about, I guess, are a little bit, I don't know, hard for me to say out loud, because, you know, I've been dealing with a lot of shame these last couple of weeks. And for some reason, the midnight was kind of a turning point for me. So I was getting there and I was feeling it. And maybe it was, well, as the midnight say, it's not the drugs, it's not the weather. I just feel so much better today. Well, I was taking a little bit of drugs. I had some weed and some alcohol, and the weed was kicking in. And just the thought to me was like, I was feeling this shame. And it was even a conversation I think we'd had recently where, you know, and this is Mike psychology here. I don't know if this is, I mean, I'm training to be a psychologist, I guess, but like I'm 2 months in, so this could all be bullshit, but this is how I interpret things. It's when you're younger, if you express an emotion, let's just say maybe pride, and that was met with shame. When that pride comes up again later in life, there's that part of you that's like, no, don't let that guy out again. You remember what happened last time we let this motherfucker out who wanted to be all prideful? No, we weren't in love then. So you have this policeman, your ego comes in and it's like, no, we gotta feel shame. We gotta shame this guy. And that shame can be so strong that you never really feel the pride. It overpowers that feeling of pride with shame. So to get to, we talk about getting to the nuggets, the gold in the hard emotions. It's in feeling a lot of these emotions that we hate feeling, one of those being shame, that you kind of get to those nuggets, you know? Mm. And so I was feeling that. And the first song they sing is Neon Medusa.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Which is like talking about, don't look straight into her eyes. Right. So treating life like a waking dream. I was kind of like, here we go. I've got to fucking look at Medusa in the eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Look at this beast, look at this shame and head on and be like, what do you have to show me? And allow the shame to be there. And I did. And it was kind of scary, man. I realized that, and this is where I'm glad I have you. And I guess I'm sharing it to, you know, people listening on the podcast, but like, I realized there's a part of me that I've repressed that is kind of just like a inner asshole. Maybe this ties back to the Satan thing we were talking about episodes back, but like maybe it's this Aries energy of like wanting to get ahead, wanting to win at all costs, wanting to hurt people, maybe even not wanting to hurt people, but yeah, maybe there's part of me that kind of does. But
being willing to hurt people for your own thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. It's willing to hurt people on the way to get ahead.
Yep.
And I've repressed this part of me so hard and it takes a lot of energy. And then that fear comes up of like, holy shit, this part of me is coming out. There's this fire. And I know consciously, like we say, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will rule your life and you'll call it fate. I know consciously that this is good for me to be consciously recognizing this. Subconsciously, I'm scared shitless that like, if this part of me comes out, I'm just going to be a fucking asshole to everybody, you know?
Dude,
I'm going to hurt people. I know, but that's what it feels like, man.
I know, but I'm here to tell you, like, whatever you're feeling, those are the things that are trying to stop you from rising up. Those are the things that are trying to stop you from being your full person, from stepping into the light, because you spend so much time, Mike, I'm drunk enough to say this. You spend so much time trying to keep yourself in check, trying to make sure no one thinks that you think you're as amazing as you really are. People think you're amazing. I think you're amazing. Everyone who's ever met you thinks you're amazing. I'm not to let the cat out of the bag, but for Christmas, you're getting a sweatshirt from me that says universally loved, because you are universally loved, Mike. No one doesn't love you. But you live in this world where you're so concerned about being that asshole. You're so concerned about making people feel the truth of them, their own truth.
What's that part? Because you said universally loved.
You are universally loved.
I love that you say that. But the part of me saying that, like, if they really saw me, if they really saw this asshole that wants to come out, they'd be like, no, fuck that guy.
That's what I'm trying to say, dude. It's illegitimate. Because Listen, Mike, whatever you've got is something I deeply admire. There are people who fucking love me, but there are people who fucking hate me too. And that's fine. That happens.
But people hate you.
There are people who deeply hate me, and that's fine. But what I'm trying to say to you is that whatever it is in your personality and your star seed and your zodiac sign and your fucking Chinese birth year. I think we were born in the same year. You're a monkey, man. I think. Yeah, are you a monkey?
Yeah, we're monkeys. Yeah.
Okay. So, but whatever it is about you is that you have this thing that if you say the wrong thing, or if you give the wrong percentage of your heart, or if you are not there for someone, then they will not forgive you and they will hate you. Dude, it's impossible. Impossible, Mike. You are universally loved because of how much heart you give people. Mike, I know you have deep inside of you the guy who you think is an asshole. But here's the thing. That asshole is just the one who is setting healthy boundaries. That asshole is the one that is speaking up and standing up for little Mike and big Mike. That asshole is the one who is defending against the world's view on what sensitive and heartfelt and soulful people are. And you're so worried about people seeing the asshole part that is like standing up for you. And even your asshole, Mike, even your deep, you know, dirt button starfish asshole is universally loved. Listen, we can cut this part of it out, but I'm telling you, I'm speaking as someone who knows what it is to be hated. Being hated is okay by me because it doesn't, I have some kind of internal confidence that it's like, well, if you hate me, then you're probably got problems anyway, you fucking idiot. But you are this very unique and man, I gotta like blow out because I'm starting to get a little emotional. You are this thing that exists in the world that is a light that people are flocking to. People are coming to you because it's like, here's a person who understands what I've been through. This is a person who, against all odds, gives me the love that I need, even when I don't feel like I deserve it. And meanwhile, it hurts me to hear you say, Mike, that when you're doing those things, you have a tiny little asshole in you that's like, I have judgments and I have things to say and I want to stand up for myself, Well, fucking do it then. Like, you can stand up for yourself and you will still be universally loved. That's the biggest fucking lie that is told to everybody, is that the people who love you will turn on you and exile you from the tribe because you stood up for yourself. No fucking way, bro. No way. No chance. No chance. Who would turn against you, Mike? You are as the sweatshirt, as the future Christmas present sweatshirt says, you are universally loved because the asshole that's inside of you is the kindest, sweetest, most pleasant asshole in the history of the world. And by the way, you don't need to feel obligated to live up to that. This is just me saying this because that's what I've observed. You have the right to be a full-blown asshole and tell people where to stick it. You have that right. And I hope that you start telling me where to stick it. But guess what? You can tell me to stick it in the most craggly, glass-covered, shard fucking thing in the world, and I will come back to you with a blood-covered dick and be like, you're still universally loved, dude. I still love you. Thanks for telling me all those things. I love you, man. That's what pops up for you when you're listening, when you're present and listening to the midnight and going to a concert and you're a little tuned up and you got some alcohol in you, you got some weed in you, and you're like, I'm having the time of my life, but what about everybody else? Fuck everybody else, dude. you are inherently, sorry to give you the bad news here, Mike.
I'm taking it. I'm loving it.
The worst version of you still qualifies for a sweatshirt that says universally loved. The worst version of you is coming, like, is rising like a phoenix and coming up and saying, here are my boundaries. Here's who I am as a person. I'm here. I exist. I bleed. I'm a person and I'm here to, like, feel everything. That's you being an asshole, by the way. And none of the things that I just said are asshole things. Assholes are the people who cut other people off in traffic and want to flip people off. Like, assholes are the people who make mistakes and make the mistakes other people's problems. You are not that. Your inner asshole is your ego standing up for yourself and speaking up for little Mike and big Mike and saying, listen, homies, I got something to say too. And the thing that your little asshole has to say is beautiful and kind and caring and full of soul. So listen, if this whole episode is trashed and we don't even, like, release it, I want you to hear me say, I need more of Mike asshole coming out, because Mike asshole is still my very favorite person. I'm going to break a big old rule that you and I have on these recordings, and I'm going to read the text between us.
Okay, no, do it, man. Cause, like, and I hope, and here's, I just need to say this before you read the text, because I hope people are resonating with this. Cause now I get this, something is like, this is the Mike show. And here I've subconsciously made it. My inner asshole has, like, made this, has, like, hijacked this episode to make it all about me. You know what I mean?
No,
but I think there's a lot of people listening right now who, like me and you, Doug, have taken the role of being small when we shouldn't have been small. And we've sacrificed a lot of ourselves and repressed that down. And when that starts coming up, it's scary. It's scary to see that part of you.
Mm, yeah.
And you worry about, like, when I was in that concert, I'm glad I had the music to dance to and sing to and rock out to, because I was feeling like this archetypal energy of Aries asshole and being like, this is going to consume me. Oh, I'm going to be consumed. I've been holding this off at bay until this moment with all my depression, with all my whatever, with all my force. And now he's finally coming out and he's going to wreak havoc on the world. That's what it feels like. It's what it feels like to get in touch with your shadow. The shadow comes out and you feel like I am going to be overpowered by this part of me that I've repressed for so long. And I think, I hope people are resonating with that.
Dude, I honestly think that there are more people than you know that have the feeling that you're feeling, which is, if I set healthy boundaries for myself, mm-hmm. other people will think I'm an asshole. And we need to redefine the term asshole, because asshole is reserved for those shitty people who are completely self-absorbed and don't understand that there's a whole civilization going on around them. I've met assholes, dude. I know who they are. Occasionally I go drinking with them and tie one on with them, because assholes are fun to hang out with. But you, Mike, if I could say anything to you as the person who, I'm going to read this text.
Yeah.
So I said to you, you are truthfully my favorite being in the universe. Being, because I don't know if you're human or if you're an alien or what the fuck you are. And you said, that means more to me than you'll ever know. And I responded, well, it's true. As close as I am to my wife, I almost dropped a name there. As close as I am to my wife, there are things that if I said them to her would make her hate me. Meanwhile, I think I could tell you, I probably shouldn't use this example that I used. Maybe I will. I'll just fucking use it. Who cares? Yeah. I said, I think I could tell you, Mike, that I'm responsible for the killing of 6 million Jews, and you would still find a way to love me. And you said some very nice things. You said, man, you nailed it. I feel like you're the only person I could tell anything to and expect to receive just a big old Doug bear hug. And I agree. I will give you a hug. You kill 6 million Jews and I'll still give you a fucking bear hug on your way to the gas chamber. But Mike, this idea that you have some kind of inner asshole, that asshole is just a little tiny part of you that is saying, I claim this space for me to exist in. I'm okay to exist. Y'all got to figure out your own shit, and I am worthy of existence and love. That's what you are worthy of, Mike, is existence and love. And the little asshole you keep commenting on, I honestly, by the way, this is probably the episode that we break the record for the number of times we say asshole.
Oh, for sure. I think you can sum up all the assholes in all of our other episodes.
Hey, listen, go ahead and tally up all the times we've said asshole and put it up against this episode.
But it's time we give assholes their due, you know?
It is time we give assholes their due. But Mike, wait. I want to give your inner asshole its due, because I think that you think this is an asshole when this is just a healthy person that is expressing their boundaries and is still not an asshole.
I agree. And I think that's where it's like, I agree consciously. And then there's a part of me, it's like, Doug, you don't know what I'm fucking capable of. You know, there's a part of me, there's that felt sense of like, holy shit. If I let this unleash this on the world, like the strange beast kombucha I'm drinking, and I'm drinking too much, I think, but whatever. If I unleash this beast on the world, like, so help us all.
Oh, come on now, bro. Come on. Dude, are you kidding me?
That's what it fucking feels like. And it's like, I hurt people. I leave people in my wake sometimes, subconsciously, unconsciously. And I hate it. And it's time to look at this Medusa in the face. And I think I need to bring it out, because like, unconsciously, I want to be conscious of it.
Oh, shit. No. By the way, let that little asshole out. Let that Medusa, let her snake hair fucking rattle for all I care.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, Mike, you can be, listen, we are talking about different levels and different strains of the same virus here. Like, you being an asshole is a warm blanket. You leaving a trail of bodies in your wake, as you said it. Dude, that wake, that is warm, pleasant water, and I'm happy to be in that wake. And I think most of the people who seek out this type of a fucking living or podcast or whatever you want to call it, they are the same kind of person. So I think that there's a lot of really cool, majestic, loving beings out there who worry about their inner asshole coming out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, girl, your inner asshole is a fucking warm blanket. Let it out.
Let it out. And
Let it shine, because that asshole lets the rest of us know where we stand. And it makes us feel comfortable and it makes us feel better about ourselves.
And you know what? That's where it was coming up. So like when I felt like I was reborn that night, there's a song they sing towards the end, which is called, and it's Neon Medusa hasn't been my favorite. I love it. I mean, I love all their songs. There's a song called Good and Red, which is repeating this kind of the same similar thing. It's in there. Like they did like this, they did like this horror album and they're singing some songs from it. And in Good and Red, it talks about, oh shit, I've got the lyrics, but like, hold that bloody head up high. So now you just slain Medusa, looked her in the eyes, and you're going to hold the head up high. And then that energy of like, yeah, I'm going to fucking hold this head up high. Right. Like I'm going to conquer. It just felt fucking good, man, to kind of say that, to say like, I'm going to conquer. I'm going to take what's mine. I'm going to take back what's mine, take back my power. And then the song Los Angeles came on and I felt like I was dancing with you to Los Angeles, like
dude,
underneath the helicopters, you know, the Holy Mother of the Midnight. I was dancing with you under the stars there.
Yeah.
After we just like held Medusa's head up high. And I know like when you're fighting your shadow, you shouldn't really cut off the head because then two heads grow back. But I didn't care in that moment. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to cut off her head. Let two grow back. I'll look at both of those in the eye and I'll do the same fucking thing, or I'll embrace her. One of the two. I don't know. I don't know how this goes, but like there was a part of me that was reckless and been like, yeah, I just wanted to cut off her head and hold it up high. Does that make any fucking sense?
It makes perfect sense. The thing I'm thinking about is when you and I were drunk on Sunset Boulevard together earlier in 2021, you kept looking at me and saying, dude, we're drunk on Sunset Boulevard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Mike, your any version of your Medusa or your asshole comes out, people are still going to flock to you, man, because all you're doing is setting boundaries for who you are. Like, I'm glad that they started with Medusa and then they ended with Los Angeles, because it's a journey, right?
Yeah. Oh, there was a whole
journey. But it's a journey in that one set, like that one set of music where they're performing to you. And for me, like, I wish I was there with you because we would have fucking owned that whole town. I think that you still own that whole town. By the way, a band comes to Los Angeles and sings a song about Los Angeles, and I think that you being there owns that whole fucking town of Los Angeles.
Oh, when you think of the lyrics, man.
And
like
I'm including, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and Daniel Day-Lewis and whoever is big in Hollywood nowadays. I don't really know. I'm including them. I'm including those motherfuckers. I think you being at that brought such light and majesty and the force, capital F, the force, to that thing, that the whole crowd was buoyed up. They were lifted, you know, high tide raises all boats or whatever the fuck people want to say. Like, you let your asshole out. Everybody who's listening, if you are a very soulful, kind-hearted person and you need to let your asshole out, let it out. If you are truly an asshole, then stop being an asshole. Like, there's no reason. Like, who needs assholes in this fucking world?
We've got too much of your asshole.
Yeah, we've already had too much. You're why are you being an asshole? But if you are a person who struggles with the concept of maybe being an asshole, fucking show us your asshole. Well, like Doug at MormonsOnMushrooms.com. Email me it. Like, I want to see your asshole. Like, to clarify, I do not want to see anyone's ass, literal asshole. But I want to see you being an asshole, which is I want to see you set boundaries for yourself and take this town over.
And if you're wondering if like, oh, am I the type that should let it out? You're the type that should.
That's what I'm trying to say. Real assholes don't have these moments of awareness, of self-awareness, mm-hmm. where they're like, shit, am I an asshole? Like, real assholes don't have that moment. Real assholes are like, huh, I'm not an asshole. Everyone else is an asshole and I'm right. That's what real assholes do. And people who are worried about being an asshole are inherently not. So show us your asshole.
I love it. Can we share? Is that the episode title?
Is this the worst thing I've ever said? It might be.
No, show us your asshole. No, I fucking love it because here's what I'm going to say about it. And this is why I texted you that night. And I almost retracted it the next day because I felt like it was over the top. I said, I've been reborn tonight. I can't wait to share it with you.
Fuck yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And here's why. Because when I finally held Medusa's head up high and said, I'm going to be a fucking asshole. All of a sudden, all this energy that I felt like I'd been repressing was unleashed. And I felt like I had this new lease on life and this new energy and this new passion and this new part of me that I could just like, I just didn't feel tired.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Shit,
I
think, dude. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people who call themselves highly sensitive people or empaths or whatever you want to use the term for. You feel tired. Your energy gets sapped. You're around a group of people and you're like, ah, now I just need to go and just unwind and recharge. Or like, I love that group. I love that party, but like, I just need to go back inside and put on headphones and just zone out. Or I'm having a conversation with people at dinner and my mind needs to go somewhere else because like my emotions are too intense right now.
Hmm.
There's an element of reclaiming my space, letting that asshole out, where it was like, holy shit, where has this energy been all my life?
Oh my!
And God. I know there was an element of, as this was coming out, being like, I can't control this. It's going to consume me. But Doug, in having this conversation with you, it won't consume me. I know it won't, much as I fear it. But it's like this energy, this passion, this drive that's like, where has this been? You know, this would have been helpful when I was like trying to climb the corporate ladder, when I was trying to pursue my MBA and what bullshit. Having this energy was on when I was on my mission, had to wake up every fucking day and like in the Brazilian sun and go knock on doors. Where was this fucking energy? You know, it was like this energy that's been repressed, is pushed down. It's like to let it out feels fucking great.
Oh my gosh, dude. Anymore.
Well, I'm just scared. I'm scared that I'm going to do this and like leave people in my wake and like be piss people off or like hurt people. And that's the thing. It's like, I'll let this thing out and I'm going to hurt people because there's a part of me that I'm letting out. That's like, yeah, you're going to leave people in your wake is you. And that's fine. You know, they're just fucking people. You're right. They're
let
just
me
like,
let me swim in that wake, dude. It's warm and pleasant.
Yeah.
So leave like, me in your wake, Mike. If you're talking about leaving me in the wake because you need to expand, do it, dude. Because I'll be here.
Will you wakeboard in my wake? Will you?
Ski? Yeah, you're goddamn right. I will. Dude, I remember learning to wakeboard. I was like, oh shit. It's like it snaps into play. Everyone who has ever, you know, water skied or wakeboard or anything like that, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. And then it suddenly snaps into place. Dude, that's what we're talking about right now is this whole thing just snapping into place. Mike, it's okay for you to be your version of an, I gotta be very clear about this. I am not condoning true asshole behavior. Because as I've risen through the corporate ranks, through Houston, Texas, and Portland, Oregon, and Salt Lake City, like, I've dealt with some grade A assholes. Mike, I'm sure that you have dealt with some grade A assholes in your fucking life. Yeah. I'm not talking about those motherfuckers. I'm talking about you, Mike, having this moment of, I had a dream and then I went to the midnight concert and I'm worried about being an asshole. It's like, no, dude, let that asshole fucking turn around, bend over and show me your asshole, because it's probably the best thing I've ever seen all fucking year.
It might have some hemorrhoids because it's been wanting to come out and like.
Yeah, dude, push them out. I say, fucking wipe them till they bleed, you know? Hey, by the way, this is side note. You and I have been talking for an hour and a half. We haven't talked about anything. We have not talked about anything other than the money thing is actually going to be something that we look back on and retrofit it to the conversation we're having right now. Mm-hmm. About being an asshole. And it's like, Mike, I don't think that you could be an asshole if you tried. I'm sorry to give you that. I'm sorry to tell you the tough news. It's probably bad news. I don't want to give you like a hard fucking like line here, but you doing your best version of someone who is a fucking total douchebag. I'm going to change it up to douchebag for a minute, 'cause I'm tired of saying the word asshole, but like you embracing your inner asshole / douchebag, dude, that's the fucking warmest bath I've ever dipped into. I want to bask and slide into that and just let it sit in me, around me, everywhere. Because Mike, all you're talking about is setting healthy boundaries, embracing your true self, and letting people know, I love you, I'm here for you, but I have my limits and I need some time to let this shit process. I can't just fucking take on all your shit. I can't take on everyone's shit. You've done that your whole life, dude. Since the moment you and I met, you've been the mediator taking on everyone else's shit for fear of being an asshole. It's like, no, man. You're not an asshole if you tell people, hey, that's enough. That's it for me. I can't deal with your bullshit anymore. That's not being an asshole. That's just being a human person who's saying enough is enough. Your family, your friends, your fucking siblings, it doesn't matter. You are continually bending for their ability to push against you. By the way, I fucking love your family. I love your family. I love your siblings. Your parents are my favorite people on planet Earth.
Same.
But you deserve to be able to stand your ground and push back and say, you've reached my limit. That's enough. Do your own thing. And you think that's being an asshole. And it's not, dude. It's not at all.
It's not, is it?
It's not at all.
And I hope, I think people are resonating with this. I think
we might not even release this shit, dude. It might be just you and me talking. I don't care.
I think
let's skip a week. Who cares?
Let's just release and see what happens.
Okay, that's fine too.
Because I think, I think there's a lot of people out there who need to hear Doug saying, let your asshole out.
Yeah. Show us your asshole.
Show us your asshole. And it's a beautiful thing. We're going to fucking love your asshole. And so bring it out. More assholes, more of us rising up who have been like, it just feel like we haven't been able to claim our own space. I mean, like, it's okay to do that. It's okay to lean in and just say, look, I'm just going to repeat what you just said. So I'm not going to do it, but you just said it beautifully. I think everyone will resonate. And now I'm feeling bad we didn't get to your DMT trip.
Dude, fuck it. That's just material for another episode. Like, honestly, that actually sums up my DMT trip, is the people who are worried about being assholes, by virtue of worrying about being an asshole, are therefore categorically not an asshole. Assholes are the people who have never given any consideration to the fact or concept that they could be an asshole. Assholes say, "Thus saith the Lord," blah, blah, blah. People who are worried about being assholes don't speak in those terms, because they're like, who the fuck knows what the Lord says? I'm just speaking for myself, and here's what I can handle, and here's what I can deal with. So if you're dealing, you know, here we are in the holiday season. If you're dealing with family or friends or Mormon neighbors or non-Mormon neighbors, if you're dealing with people who you're concerned about, like, if I set my own personal boundaries and limits, that might come across as being an asshole, you're already winning. You already have won, because the people who you're trying to protect from your inner dragon slash Medusa slash tiger slash powerful being, they don't give a shit about showing you their asshole. And the fact that they didn't think about that or consider that they might be being an asshole makes them an asshole. The fact that you're considering that this might make you an asshole and you don't want to do it means just by, listen, I'm just talking about logic and reason here. I'm not talking about hippy dippy fucking woo-woo bullshit. I'm saying the very fact that you're considering, does this make me an asshole, answers your own goddamn question. And it means no. You're not being an asshole. You're being a human person who is setting healthy, legitimate, important, valuable boundaries for your own self. And I applaud you for it. And I want to give you a big old hug, and it'll last longer than you want it to last. And then I'll feel awkward, so I'll pull away and I'll tell you sorry later, because I apologize for my own coolness.
Too much of a Doug hug, man.
Well, I know, but I agree. But other people, I worry about other people being like, I've been in this hug for like 17 seconds. How long is this fucking thing going to last?
That's not what they're thinking. So just one more thing I want to say before we sign off on this was like, because Doug, it's like, thank you for the therapy again. I don't know. I feel like I come in here and you give me therapy and make it the mic show again. But like, there's, an element to, I'm kind of losing my train of thought here, but it's, I feel like it was an important one of shit, man. It's this, holy shit. It was a good thought. I thought it was, maybe it wasn't worth sharing, 'cause it's not coming back to me.
Dude, it'll come or it won't, but it's fine either way, dude.
It's fine either way. It's
you,
just
you don't owe us anything.
Here it is. It's this element of this part of you that you've repressed. I don't know. It's okay to say when something hurts.
Yes. Oh shit, dude.
Even if you even if you consciously know, like, hey, I shouldn't be hurt by this, it still hurts, you know? And like, it's okay to say, like, I want more, I deserve more. It's okay to voice this part of you that it's escaping. It comes and it goes, but it's like, your needs matter, and don't make yourself small. And it's okay to express your needs, because the people who love you and can care for you will be like, oh, okay. Thank you for sharing that.
Ooh.
And you know, maybe caregivers in the past couldn't hold space for that, and so you learned to shut that down or something happened, but like, it's okay now to reach out to friends, to lovers, to family, you know, and be like, wait, hold on. This doesn't feel right. And, you know, let me just voice this, because even consciously, I know maybe I should be okay with this. Like, this doesn't resonate with me, or like I'm feeling this right now. And so yeah. I need some love. I need some reassurance, because this part of me is hurting. And and that's where, you know, the asshole comes out in defense of that part a little bit. But like, am I too drunk to make sense here?
No, it's dude, like, you're making really good sense. So keep going.
It's okay to say that, like, a part of me really hurts right now.
Oh, dude. All you're doing right now, Mike, is you're giving yourself a little bit of an insight into your own self. Like you're circling around it right now, which is give the people who truly love you the benefit of the doubt that they love you as much as you love them.
And let them in, because you don't have to do it on your own, you know?
You don't have to do it on your own. And if you have the capacity to love them through all their weird, what about them? Don't you, we can give them the fucking credit for having the capacity to love us through all of our weird. I love you, Mike.
I love you too, man. And thank you. Thank you for all this. Cause like, I'm just seeing that, like, it's okay for people to see these parts, yeah, or in the hurt part, because, they'll love that part too, you know? And yeah. And I drank a lot of kombucha tonight.
Dude, I don't think anybody can tell. Like I'm getting more and more sober as you get more and more drunk. So I'm jealous of you right now, but like, I'll just say this. one of the things that I hear from, you know, the podcast itself is there's this weird thing about my spouse. She doesn't really like doing plant medicines. She doesn't give a shit about fucking healing or trauma. She doesn't care. She literally does not care. And what I hear from people sometimes is that must be really hard, or you guys must like not connect. But yeah, I hear a lot of shit, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing that I learn from her is about love, and it's about giving people credit for their capacity for love. Too frequently, I think that I'm the one who is capable of deep love, and everyone else doesn't quite get it yet. And more I'm realizing, no, everyone has the capacity for very deep and true and real love. And the biggest stumbling block is often me not giving them the credit for being able to love me the way that that I love them. And that's selfish. That's narcissistic of me. But Mike, the thing I'm telling you is this little asshole that you're talking about that's inside of you, give people like me and your mate and your friends that love you and your family that loves you, give us all the credit for the capacity that we hold for being able to love you and honor you and respect you for setting your own fucking boundaries. That doesn't make you an asshole, homeboy. Not at all. It makes you fucking beautiful and awesome and huge. It took Perseus to defeat Medusa, dude. And you know, Perseus, I might be getting this wrong. I might have my mythology wrong, but I think it was Perseus.
Yeah, but, right. According to Clash of the Titans, according to that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Perseus. Good job, dude. Thank you for everything. But Perseus had to go through some dark Knights of the Soul before he faced Medusa. And I would dare say Medusa was probably misunderstood. She, in her own fucking weird way, was trying to figure out a way to express herself, but everyone turned to stone around her.
That's a whole other episode to unpack right there.
I know. I'm on a sentence that I can't finish just yet, because I'm showing a little bit of love for Medusa, but I'm also saying Perseus is still the hero in our story. But
we're all playing these different parts in the stories, man.
But we all need to just remember that the capacity that we have for loving one another is also not finite, and is not this, when we were talking earlier about the money thing, mm-hmm. we were talking about a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
Love is not a resource that is scarce. Love is not something that has a finite amount. Love's not Bitcoin. Love is infinite. It's an infinite supply. And taking your own ownership of a little sliver and piece of love is only going to give you more love. It's not going to limit how much other people can love you. God damn it. I'm fucking in a whole thing.
I love it. I actually really like this episode, man.
I don't even know if we should release this episode. This should just be for you and me, because I feel like I've gotten a lot of cool things out of this thing. But
I've been crying, man. This is the therapy I needed, of course. So hopefully it's therapy other people needed too.
All right.
And I really have to take a piss.
I do too, dude. The cleaners are here. I got to get out of here.
All right, buddy. I fucking love you. Thank you. Thank you for fucking holding space for me again, man.
Same. Right back at you, man. Thanks for letting me blab. It took me a while to get to my point, but my point is that love conquers all.
I love it. There's the point of the whole episode. Love conquers all. Money.
Love's cool. Yeah. Get in there for love.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
All right. Bye, Mike.
Goodbye.
Love you.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Mormons on Mushrooms podcast. We have so much fun recording it. And if you love it, we would absolutely love it if you could leave a review on wherever you get your podcasts. It would really help our visibility so more people can listen to it and be enlightened and hear our crazy stories. So thanks again for tuning in.